Namaste, Swagatam, welcome everybody to today's edition of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga. Today we will be talking about India's foreign policy, what it is today with the US and what it should be. We have Dr. Swami with us today. The topic is pertinent today. Basically what happened in the last maybe few weeks, what has happened with President Xi's visit to the U.S. and, post facto, what has happened with the alleged attempt by so-called Indian agents in with what happened with the extremist, Punjab extremist called Pannu, who lives in the U.S. With this, I'll just hand it over to Dr. Swami. Dr. Swami, before we go there, I mean, the atmosphere in the U.S. is pretty clear. One, they are waiting for the outcome of the results based on what I've been hearing locally is what's going to happen in the elections that are happening. One, and two, there has been a significant cooling down of the relations between India and the US. So I just hand it over to you, Dr. Swami. Basically, give us an idea as to what is going on. Why is this cooling down happening? What can we anticipate? Because obviously, US is a significant partner for India, because for us, and all along, we were under the assumption that, U.S. and India will be close because China is a common threat. But it apparently, this meeting between Joe Biden and Xi is kind of thrown everything, out of whack. So your thoughts, Dr. Swami. Thanks.
Thank you, Ravish. It's the topic is, in fact, in my opinion, something that we need to address very seriously as more and more information comes. We may have even more sessions on Gyan Ganga. At the moment, I'll start by saying that there has been a definite cooling off, a definite souring of the narrative or the speaking methods, the speaking words that are used between the two countries. Now, it also has to be looked at it from the point of view that the United States was throughout the decade, the 10 years, the 5 years of 2014 to 2019, were looking for India to be a counter to China. Now, there was a sudden visit first of the Secretary of State and then later on that of Biden himself, where there was a meeting between Xi Jinping and the U.S. President. Now, what comes out of this, one I can say, is that there is no reference to India in any of these meetings, bilateral meetings that the United States is having. Moreover, there have been other issues on which they've been rather harsh. For example, the latest one Indians call Khalistanis. Of course, I have a totally different approach to how to deal with Sikhs, but that's another matter altogether. But Indian government was accused by the U.S. government, and actually an FIR, the equivalent of an FIR, has been filed by their agencies to say that Indian government was motivating a assassination of that Sikh. And so this is coming after what happened in Canada, where we kept denying, and then the Canadians kept insisting, and then the Europeans and the Americans said, sit with the Canadians and decided. They were not against us, nor they were for us. But here in the United States, in only a few days ago, there have been a specific allegation that Indian official agents were seeking to assassinate the Sikh Khalistani. So I don't even know is it Palestine, but anyway, those who are very extreme, who want to see a breakup of India. So these indications go to add to the Xi Jinping meeting with Biden. And Biden, in fact, said it's a dictatorship, but the Chinese have not reacted. Their joint statement, their statement after Xi Jinping went back to China is very warm towards the United States. And I'm told many of these companies which were shut down have started opening. So the idiom has completely changed. And it's possible that, and I think it's not possible, probable, that the United States today has come to the conclusion that India, you see, is not a friend, cannot be a friend. India is not a reliable ally. That India is only interested in getting some things from India, and that's about all. So this thing, I hope up to next month to make a trip to the United States to get a more direct impression of what the Americans think. But as of now, what I've collected through my own friends and my long association having taught in America and having friends who are still there, it appears that, yes, the relationship has deteriorated. Now, I will deal now with the other question, whether we should not allow this deterioration. There was a time when the left wing was very strong in India, and they said to hell with America. Why should you bother about that? Only the Soviet Union matters, and so on. Today, the Soviet Union doesn't exist. Not only Soviet Union doesn't exist, breakaway group or the rump element of Soviet Union, namely Russia, it's not anymore in a position to be an independent power. It is subject. It bends before China. It's a junior partner of China. It's widely accepted that it should be so. So and then for them to go and fight with Ukraine means that superpower status of the Chinese of the Russians has fallen. But I'm not concerned so much with it. I am concerned about the possibility of a triangular relationship between the United States, China, and India, and based on mutual respect for our powers and our accepted claims. But what we are finding is the Chinese are going and penetrating into India, and they have taken over 4,000 plus square kilometers of India, which were undisputed part of India. And in fact, it had been discussed in 1996 during the Narasimha Rao's period, where it was all these certain parts were declared as undisputed for China and undisputed for India, and for India in Ladakh, almost everything was undisputed. And that's where they have come, crossed the line and come occupied it. And we are pretending, there's nobody, something on the borderline. I mean, see, the line of control is only, there's no drawn line on the ground, but even on the map, if you magnify it to its real position, it's only a 6-inch wide line. And you are saying we are discussing the infringement in the line of actual control. It is ridiculous. So what they are trying to hide is this, and that is going to have a very big impact on Mr. Modi's internal situation also. It may even be a factor in the Lok Sabha election. So beginning with this fact that there has been a deterioration in our relationship, there has been more harsh words being used, and I'll give you examples of those harsh words, and a certain warming up to China, which has taken place, or obviously taken place, which you couldn't think of it earlier. No talk about for countries' unit that was formed. There's no discussion about that. And therefore, one has to wonder why, once we had signed an agreement to create a coalition with Australia and China, with Australia, with Japan, and with India, the United States is now only meeting with Japan and Australia. And they're leaving. They are not meeting India. So India is no more a factor in the Quad. It's Q-U-A-D, you know. That Quad, which is a which is an abbreviation for these names of various countries. So I think this is not being discussed. And, you know, there's psychofancy in our media, particularly English media, that is actually sickening. You really don't want to read these newspapers. It's better to read the Hindi papers or language papers, and also perhaps see the those TV programs which are being privately put out. So in that context, let me say that what we need now is to, first of all, amongst ourselves, decide. We three are here. Let us, each of us, or rather now four, because Arvind has also come. So let us four tell the audience, frankly, that yes, no matter what it is, we must, in the coming 10, 15 years, 20 years, India and the United States should be on a strategic alliance with each other, and should be able to fend off China and say Pakistan too, and any other terrorist country. So United States weapons should be available to India and gradually replace what the Russian thing has become obsolete. This is something that before I should tell yes or no. I mean, we must tell the audience yes or no, because there's always this background, you know, the American, what do they think? We can teach them a lesson. It's no more, the situation is no more like that. There are so many other ways in which the United States has become important to us. There's so many Indians there. They're in such high positions, in such good positions. So, you know, why should we break with a country which has technology which can be very useful for us? Now, if we really want to improve our relations, what do we need to do? Is the United States ready for it? If we were to decide, will they trust us to come into an alliance? Now, here is a very tough question, because I am increasingly getting the feeling that for some reason, what might have been privately communicated, the intellectuals of the United States, who were not great fans of Narendra Modi, but they were never so bitter as they are now. Most of the well-known media, whether you like them or not, whether it's the London Economist or the Financial Times in London, in England, or New York Times, and so on, they're all now writing critically, not so much about India, but about Modi. And that makes it, Modi as a liability. And Modi may be a liability in our own internal elections also, because many of the things that he said he would do, and now people are talking to me about it. What happened to all those crores and crores which were abroad? You said you will bring it back. Such things which we had promised. So there is internally also criticism. So in a sense, I would say that if we wanted a nationalistic party to be in power, we have to seriously consider how Modi is beginning to be seen both internationally and within our country, whether people might like the BJP without Modi or no, they think that Modi is the key figure, and we need to have a clear understanding of that position. So I think these are things that in the next 2 months we'll be all working on, those of us, and we'll inform the public through this YouTube thing, because you can't inform through the usual English media, which would not print a line of it. So I would say this is a factor where if we are going to make with the United States, I'm not suggesting we should become a part of NATO, or we should become part of CIATO or something, you know, we should be another Pakistan, not at all. And all the United States has got this kind of thing. It's too big a country to be a camp follower. But we are a democratic country. They are a democratic country. So it's a big factor. They have a lot of Indians there who like our cultural activities, who like our yoga, who like all that, and plus all our scientists who have performed hugely for their science and technology. So that's another dimension which should be further centered. When it comes to political questions, I would say that we need not be seen as anti-United States on any issue, even if we don't agree. Now, take for instance the latest of Israel. First, you say you go at the moment the first incident came of Hamas doing all those atrocities, brutalities, and most horrible things that they did inside Israel. At that time, Modi immediately called up the Prime Minister and expressed similar. After that, it is being modified. Even today, we haven't said anything about Hamas. You know, the Hamas is an evil party, and that they, once they have done this, they don't deserve civilized societies, even mentioned, much less support. So we have to make up our mind that if we are with the United States, we have to be with the Israelis. We may be internally, we may discuss, have differences and so on, but of course, that doesn't mean that the Americans can do what they like. They will also have to make choices on Pakistan, which they have already gone 30-40% into, ditching Pakistan. And then the question of China. I'm very, very confident that if India were to become become a friend of the United States in the real sense of the word, that we stand by them, we don't go to the UN and pass a resolution against them, and so on, then India can expect the United States to be liberal in providing what they have, which we don't have. There are many things we have, we don't need the Americans. But at the same time, there are many things that they have, which we may invent over the years, but the fact is that you can get it today. And that is where a atmosphere of respect, and you know, we are natural friends, actually, both our countries' democratic spirit is very similar. I've lived in the United States for many, many years. I know that the way the Americans argue, think, and so on is very similar to the way the elite in India does so. So we have demonstrated to the world that we can't be broken up. There have been all these American scholars earlier on going on predicting that India will break into so many pieces and all that. Nothing has happened. So did Kissinger say that at one stage? So all that has gone, finished. India is a country, and it's a historical country. And of course, the Hindus are the main base for it. We welcome others. The Parsis are here, no problem. The Jews are here, no problem. And the Muslims also would not be a problem unless they decide to you know, show themselves as something distinctive, and won't be something like the Hamas in Israel. Now there are a lot of Muslims, by the way, in Israel. Nobody mentions that in the publications. So that is something that we are, however, heading towards a clash of civilization, as Professor Huntington of Harvard had said and wrote a book on it, which I think every one of us should read. What it says is, what he had said is basically this, that there are three countries which can come together without difficulty. But there's a fourth country, it's going to be difficult unless they give their extremism. And the extremists are controlling the sensible people, the non-mad people, so to speak, people who are have a balanced view and so on. And so he identified that the Jews, the Christians, and the Hindus, they more or less can work together in a crisis. He's not saying that it can they work together on everything. But he said if there's a crisis of survival, then these three countries can come together. And but the Islamic forces, the more rich they become, the more opportunities they get, they will be fighting these Western values, the freedom for women, etc., etc. They will, in order to do that, they will probably engage into a war. And he thought it would go into a war. Now, I wouldn't say that this thesis has so much support today or can have so much support as it had before. For instance, the Saudi Arabian de facto leader, he's number two, but he's a de facto leader. His name is Mohammed bin Salman.
MBS. They call him MBS. Mohammed bin Salman.
So he is shown great deal of maturity in this present crisis of the Hamas. He has openly told them, "No, I will not change my attitude towards Israel. It's a legitimate country, and I would have relations with them." And so, and he has done many other things. He has allowed the women to drive cars, which no Saudi Arabian would have dared to do that earlier. So it's too early to say Muslims are all one block, as Professor Huntington said. But I do think that there is a very hardcore in the Islamic world which wants to do jihad. And we're all of us can be in a difficulty in a certain situation. And that's why Professor Huntington wrote this book, Clash of Civilizations. He said that whatever it is, whether it happens or not, but for the moment, internationally, the Christians, the Jews, and the Hindus should work together. And I think that is a very good salutary thing in which the Americans then, relations with India would become very, very good, extremely good. And at the moment, I would say that we are going down in our relationship with the United States. That's not good because the United States is the sole superpower even today. Even China is no match to it. But they have had fatigue. America suffers from fatigue because they have lost in many places. They lost in Vietnam. They lost in Afghanistan. And, you know, they don't want to bleed anymore. They don't want any more 9/11 episodes and so on. So in that sense, the manpower is with India, and the land areas are such that India controls the Indian Ocean. So it's a big chunk that India has if it became to contribute to the world coming together, or at least the civilized world coming together. So I also know that it is possible for us to work with the Chinese, because I worked with the Chinese during the period of Deng Xiaoping, and I got so many things done, even to Kailash Mansarovar opened, you know, the talks. And then we had this agreement that, okay, we will discuss what is ours and what is yours, but in the meantime, status quo will prevail. And that Xi Jinping has disturbed and he has come and captured undisputed areas of Ladakh and taken it into his kitty. So China has to await if it wants to come. It has to modify a lot. But one can say that India, United States, and Europe, Japan, all these countries, they are democratic countries. They could come and form a group, and India taking the benefit of the technology of the United States as well as the weapons, which they have by all accounts the best in the world, and they don't give it for market sale, but they do give to friends. So if you are a friend, you'll get it, and that way India will also be will grow. So we are, in short, in concluding, based on the title that has been put out, our relations with the United States has deteriorated. And this deterioration is singularly connected with Mr. Modi. There's much hatred for Modi in the media. There are much of the intellectuals. And I hear that openly and clearly. And even amongst the officials, they don't say it publicly, but do say it privately. So Modi either has to redo his coordinates, or India has to make a decision, or in particular BJP has to make a decision that can we continue with this kind of thing where the Americans are all the time in doubt about what India might do. Suddenly we'll go and meet the Russians, suddenly we'll go and meet the Chinese, suddenly we will oppose what is obviously a rowdy thing to do, and that is what the Russians have done to that small country. So I think all told, this clarity that needs to be brought in is what we need, and that has to come by frank and open debate within our own country. Over to you.
Thank you, Dr. Swami. So you, one of the important points that you mentioned, which is very important, is a strong relationship between US and India. Sadly, it was in the process of happening or slowly growing, but I think G20 kind of tempered the whole thing down. That's one. It's just a significant drop in that, the significant fracture in the relationship, as you had mentioned. But what is more significant, Dr. Swami, it is imperative that 2024, BJP comes back to power, whether with Modi, without Modi is irrelevant. But BJP should come back to power. Otherwise, Dr. Swami, the woke liberal brigade that is spreading like wildfire in America force and start creating threats in India as well. It has started already, not saying that. And the current by-election, Dr. Swami, is being very closely observed. What is going to be the outcome? And it's the impact on that is going to be very significant. There is going to be forced toning down of quote-unquote Hindutva. I am pretty positive. It might even happen with Modi, because he might even tone down the concept of Hindutva and go to the concept of tone it down and probably go into the India shining mode. We have already seen that disaster, what made that happen. But I think Modi should clearly understand that the mood in India today is more of Hindutva, not less of. People are not worried about what they... Atmanirbhar, and at the end of the day, all this good development has not led to anything. We still have about 10%+ inflation. Unemployment in India. The inflation is very high. It is impacting the common people. And you have shown in the past, people are, even if they don't have food or adequate food or not, they vote for a cause, for an ideology. And I don't think BJP or its leadership, including Modi, should abandon Hindutva, because that is the only thing that he's going to come back to power on. This development, people don't care. Because once you talk about development, they said, what are you talking about development? I can't eat two meals a day. So it does under threat. But even for India's sake, And for the significance of Hindus, I think the BJP, it is imperative that the BJP comes back to power. That is my observation, Dr. Moore. Based on what you just said, it's important that these two happen. You know, leaders come and go, Dr. Swami. Nobody lives 1,000 years, 10,000 years. We are not Lord Rama. At the end of the day, ideology matters. But unfortunately, in this particular case, they flipped it. All said and done, the most corrupt government party being Congress, they've stood in that for 60 years because they were very clear. The party should be in power. We'll come and manipulate everything else. Unfortunately, for BJP, Modi should be in power. So I think there is a misunderstanding here as to what the concept is, because the way Congress ruled 60 years is by sticking to saying that the party is more important than the individual. Sonia Gandhi being completely the puppeteer of puppets, they know how to manage and game the system. I think BJP should take this and not depend on Modi alone to win the election. I don't think he's got the same vigor he had in 2014 to go run around the country and win another major election. So this is my point. Arvindji, go ahead.
Sir, I joined late, but I was expecting Dr. Swami to give a correct analysis of over a period of time how India-US relations have been behaving in terms of trends and all that. Dr. Swami, pick up from what you said about the deterioration. Now, deterioration, if I be specific, over a period of last 15 years after nuclear deal, when nuclear deal was done, Trump was not even there, Obama, Trump and Biden. Over these three periods, and Modi was also not there. So if I look at Indo-US relations from 2008 to 2023, last 15 years, do you think there has been a topsy-turvy kind of relationship and it's all been going down the hill?
No, the issue would be going topsy or going up and down or what they call as a curve, which goes up and down. That's not what has happened. There have been periods when it suddenly drops and then it bottoms out. And sometimes it comes up a little. During Moraji's time, it picked up quite a lot. With Narasimha Rao, it was he had this problem of having to look over his shoulder for the lady who was very critical. And the lady is well known, is very connected to Putin. Putin, in fact, took her to St. Petersburg and then to the jail in which Sonia Gandhi's father was kept by Stalin for having, he was part of the Hitler's Jawan. He was a Hitler's Jawan and he was arrested. He was, caught and put in jail. To expect, and then Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi both have entered into a understanding with the Chinese, which they have never made public. You can be friends with the Chinese, but they should not be clandestine. And so, but they have a clandestine relations with China. So I would say that no matter what, we must see that BJP wins. That is, people like you, me, and others. I'm ultimately is for the people, public to decide. But I don't think, frankly, that this is my opinion. I'm not saying that everybody has this opinion in BJP. With Modi as the leader, we will be able to win. And I've conveyed this to the people who matter in the BJP. I told them that he will not be able to do it. He will not be able to carry. And now we have on the third a set of results. If we lose Madhya Pradesh, then we lost a huge chunk. If in addition we lose Rajasthan, then of course it will be a disaster. And Rajasthan, even by the best account, is, if we are 50-50. So let's see what the result, and maybe when we have a Gyan Ganga after third, we'd have a much more clear picture about the future. But it is a fact that the best best thing you can get out of any country's relationship is with the United States. They have the technology, they have the knowledge, they have the research, they have the money. And in view of that, if you can get them on your side and you convince them that some of the load that they have in international matters, we will take over, then I think the Americans would be very generous in providing what we lack and what we can't make ourselves.
Dr. Swamy, very good point. Now, do you think this kind of discussion will also be going on somewhere in some think tank in the US? Ramesh is there, of course, in the US, so he would know you better. Do you think US is bothered about Indo-US relations and their think tank and politicians devote so much time to discuss Indo-US relations? How much is Indo-US relations important from US perspective?
You would be surprised. Yeah. See, they have so many think tanks. We have 2, 3, 4, you know, and they come with the routine stuff. But in America, people actually do it as a scholarly pursuit. I get access to many of them, Brookings Institution. Wilson, Woodrow Wilson thing in Princeton. Then International Affairs at Harvard, you know, Columbia. All of them have things where India is studied very seriously. And there are, you know, even private agencies which run on private money, they deal with India, particularly since they're interested in the market factor. We are a very big market when we become prosperous. And so I would say the United States, they may come to wrong conclusions. But there was a time in the 60s when I was at Harvard, the prediction was that India will fall apart into 20 countries, that India will not be able to feed itself. India will, people will come out of the streets and eat each other. All these things were said, it was written by two brothers called Paddock and Paddock, World Famine. And 1975, they wrote in 65, and they predicted all this, and none of that turned out, you see. So that no more people don't talk of India falling apart, being put together by the British, and that's why it became a country, it won't last very long, democracy will collapse. After the emergency, nobody is talking about democracy collapsing in India. So there are lots of positives that have come, but the strategics where the United States wants to know whether you're with them or against them. And if you're neutral, you must be neutral to all. You must be neutral to the Soviet Union, or now the Russians and the Chinese as well. But we are not. Why are we? We are not neutral in Ukraine. We are helping the Russians to buying their oil. If you're going to say that till you stop the war in Ukraine, we will not buy anything from Russia, that would be neutral. We'll not help Ukraine, but we are not going to help Russians either. That would be neutral. So we are not neutral. And now, why? I don't understand. You see, I can tell you this discussion I had briefly with Mr. Modi when he wanted me to become chairman of the BRICS Bank. And I declined it. And I told him that, you know, this is an unnatural thing. The Chinese either have to comply with what we want. Like I went there and got Kailash Mansarovar opened, so that created an atmosphere. You know, we can work with China, and that Deng Xiaoping that was possible. So today these are the things how to deal with America. Americans don't know exactly about India. They know which intellectual can be brought over on a scholarship, and he can write praises of United States and condemn India and so on. That's going on all the time, but that doesn't matter. We are basically a very big country, and we must know how to become a world power, and by the shortest route. And for that, we need the United States. That's the conclusion I have. And if you can rebut that, I'd be happy to hear it.
One question, Dr. Swami, I have about the 24 elections. Data analysis, when we study the analyze the data, we have some concept called causality. Do you think this deterioration in Indo-US relations, which you have conclusively proved, will it affect the 2024 election and Modi's prospects?
Well, you see, I have already gone public, so I can't take another stand here. I have said we cannot win the elections, and I've told this also to people who really have big stakes in the BJP winning, like the RSS, which donates a huge manpower for BJP to win. I don't think that BJP is below 250 just now. So, therefore, BJP can become a majority party once again by a little a change in the situation that we can bring about. And then, of course, the argument, no, if you get 250, you can have a coalition government. Then we are back to their old Vajpayee situation, where we achieved nothing in terms of concrete terms for our ideology. Now the ideology is Hindutva, and that is giving you a bulk of the vote. A big bulk of the vote is coming today, not because the economy or Mr. Modi's various uniforms that he wears. The people are not moved by that. It's the Hindutva. And here, Ram Mandir being formed has led to a lot of credibility. But Modi had nothing to do with it because he wants to take all the credit. But Ram Mandir created, Ram Setu being protected, these things created credibility that we are serious about Hindutva. One thing the government did do was that on the triple talaq, stopping that, that was a it was a small thing, but still it is in the right direction. So India at this time, BJP looks not as a party which is going to bring a lot of economic change, it's in competition with Congress on that. But it is a party which will bring back the glory of the Hindus. That with 80% of the population, as far as I know from the last census. So 80% of the population, if the 30% chunk is cut off and votes for BJP, then we are already on the way to majority, because all the others will give you little. And anybody who gets 35% in this present breakup, because I don't think this opposition, India opposition as it's called, is going to last very long. I'm sure that it'll be very difficult for most parties to get along with Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi. And so it'll break up. And therefore, BJP has a very good stand, but it can lose. If it starts losing in the states, even if it wins in the center, that itself is going to be a very difficult task then afterwards, you see, for the BJP.
Dr. Swami, here's a question from one of the viewers. I'll just put the context, Dr. Swami. Recently, Modi flew the Tejas. This GE-404 engines are very crucial. Now, the U.S. has delayed supply of these things. Arvindji, this comes to your question. What can U.S. do? See, at the end of the day, these are the things that U.S. kind of, quote-unquote, pressures or manipulates things. See, this is a very significant national security issue for India, because they are looking to build another 50 or 60 Tejas in India. But if you're not going to get the engines, what's going to happen? So that is one impact. So why is this happening? A, deterioration of the relationship. Because if the relationship was very good, this would not happen. Correct?
There is
significant pressure that is being put in different ways. This is how US shows what it can do. You know, cut... Very innocuous thing. Not many people. This is not a rozgar roti. I mean, everyday bread and butter kind of issue. This is not dal roti issue. But again, very significant impact on India's defense capabilities, because India depended on Russia for the AS-400. It's a disaster. So if you look at it this way, India has significantly, vulnerable. Yeah, has become significantly vulnerable. Unless you have a good relationship with the US, that vulnerability cannot be removed. And one other point that you mentioned, Arvindji, I just want to bring. In the US, the India/Hindu lobby is literally non-existent. Off late, in the past 5 to 6 years, what I have seen, what I've observed, Sri Iyer and P. Gurus also significantly covered this, is the rise of the Islamic lobby. They are very significant. They have multiple congresspersons in the Congress, in the House of Representatives. Their voice is increasing significantly, and the amount of things that they're doing to shape the policy is a threat to India. None of them like India. Be it the Rashid Tlaib, be it Ilhan Omar, you take all the lunatics out there here in Congress, they are virulently anti-India. So you have to imagine this pressure is there. And a lot of them are sitting on committees that can make or break India to a large extent. So it's very significant that you notice these things are lobbies, and India lobby is virtually non-existent purely by the fact that you have a bureaucrat running a politician job. You are having a bureaucrat being as a minister who has, whether he by night is he a bureaucrat or by day is a bureaucrat, he has no clue. Because a politician and bureaucrats don't think the same way. Unfortunately for India, he might have been a great bureaucrat, but he's a lousy, he's a lousy politician, because that politics matters. American politicians don't like talking to bureaucrats, and they just want to do, it's a question of politics, what's in it for me? First question that comes to any American, even for me, is what's in it for me? Why should I do this deal with you? And if as a bureaucrat, you just waver and wander and you don't come to a decision, that has a significant India. And in general, attitude is India will never decide anything. They'll keep on kicking the can down the road. That has had an impact. And China, Xi Jinping coming, we don't know what the outcome is. I think there are significant give and take would have happened in this visit. And we will see that in the next few months that shape up, because there is no reason for Xi Jinping to come in such a short time to visit the US and have a meeting with Biden. There is something significant that has gone behind the scenes. I think it will unravel in the days to come. And as Dr. Swami said, India was not even mentioned once. And that shows what is the level of attention that you ask me. What do Americans think about India? That's exactly what they think. Nothing. And last one point. This bravado Dr. Swami mentioned, all these bucks and idiots and morons who are on the BJP IT cell payroll, they think, oh, we don't need US. Don't be idiots, okay? India, US is the largest trading partner of India.
Yes, okay. Now.
Yeah, exactly. From business point of view, I think US is more important.
Don't say, oh, we don't want US. All this nonsense, just shut up, okay? You just have no competence to say things like that. It's absolute nonsense. India needs US. US doesn't need India. I think we should be very clear about that. There's one last question I want to address, because it was addressed to me, Dr. Swami. Bhaskar Majumdar, let me say one thing. We need BJP back. The reason why this is happening today is because of the leadership. You change the leadership, BJP can be supportive of Hindus. That's all I wanted to say on this. This issue that's happening because of they are killing or destroying temples is because of a leadership issue. It's not a party issue. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Swami.
No, first of all, Xi Jinping would not have come to San Francisco unless the Americans were also agreeable to his coming. It's not that Xi Jinping decided one day, I'll come to go to San Francisco. So in that way, there would have been a set of meetings at the secretary level. So the Secretary of State had gone to Beijing. They worked out what needs to be said and what does not need to be said. And I would consider, as you mentioned, the not a word about India in the entire thing. Even at least he could have raised the question of China's incursions into India. That was not raised. So it shows a complete disregard for India. And that is a very serious thing. I mean, it's no use blaming the Americans and saying, oh, you're not worthy of my attention. The fact is that it's a bilateral matter. If the Americans are not happy with you, you should engage with them and find out this issue.
Dr. Swami, is CIA behind Padu? I mean, are they using him as a
he may be behind the the CIA may be behind Barakunu. The fact is, the American government which has made the accusation and gone and filed a complaint also that you tried to kill him. So, and that coming after Canada is a very big blow, you see.
And they have.
And even in the Canada case, they had said this 5i American evidence was there. I mean, that's so. I mean, if you put it together, it is the U.S. which is, let's say, pinpricking India.
Yeah, evidence. U.S. provided the intelligence to Canada.
Yeah.
Dr. Swami, this, as you said, the U.S. Department of Justice is.
CIA business, everybody becomes very knowledgeable. How do you know about CIA? It's supposed to be a secret organization. You know, you if you can infer that they're CIA, then CIA is useless. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I would say that those who say they're CIA, they must be KGB or FSI or whatever it is called in Russia nowadays.
FSB.
Yeah, FSB.
So, Dr. Swami, as you mentioned, the U.S. Department of Justice is waiting to, what we call as unseal the indictment against, quote-unquote, known persons who carried out this attack on Panu. It is right now on a sealed cover, so they're ready. They're just thinking about that. Would be a huge blow, Dr. Swami, Advinji, because that clearly shows who that person is, who was, because once you know the name, the person, obviously India has no other option but to disclose whether they have a relationship with them. One is that the government has any remote link with this guy. It is a disastrous situation for India.
Yeah, right. Right.
Arvind ji, आप कुछ हिंदी में कुछ इसको
डॉक्टर स्वामी ओके मैं पूछना चाहता हूँ जो भारत के दृष्टिकोण से बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है और अमेरिका के दृष्टिकोण से भी उतना ही महत्वपूर्ण है वो ये है कि भारत में जो विकास जिसको हम विकास कहते हैं पर कैपिटा इनकम जीडीपी इन व्हाटएवर टर्म 400 मिलियन मिडिल क्लास इज प्रोजेक्टेड बाई 2030 And this is important for United States as well. So can United States also afford to ignore India or have a bad relationship over a period of time, Joe Biden or no Joe Biden, whether it's Obama, Trump or whatever, Modi, no Modi. But can US afford to have poor relationships with India, looking at the commercial side, market, economy, size of the market, sheer size of the market?
डॉक्टर साहब कैन यू रिमाइंड
जो मार्केट की जो साइज है आकार है उसके हिसाब से यूनाइटेड स्टेट्स के लिए भी भारत बहुत महत्वपूर्ण होना चाहिए
हाँ जी
ये महत्वपूर्ण होने माने आप कहते हैं खरीदी में यानी आयात और निर्यात का सवाल आपने उठाया अब वो और भी देश हैं जो दे सकते हैं चाइना दे सकती है कौन सी ऐसी बात है चीज है हमारे पास जो और दुनिया में कोई दे नहीं सकता अब हमें सोचने की बात है हमारे लिए सोचने की बात है कि यदि चाइना और अमेरिका एक साथ हो जाएंगे एक यहाँ एशिया में और दूसरा वहाँ और दोनों ये समझते हैं कि इस इंडिया को एक सबक सिखाना है तो आप समझते हैं कि आप अकेला इन दोनों को ले लेंगे आज की परिस्थिति में मैं ये सोचना चाहिए हम एक लोकतंत्र देश हैं हम अमेरिका को क्यों वहां जाने के लिए विवश करना चाहिए या उनके लिए वातावरण क्या बनानी चाहिए हमें तो अमेरिका से मिलकर चाइना को ठीक करना है और ये है जो हमारे लिए महत्वपूर्ण है और अपने जो जो स्ट्रेटेजिक एस्पेक्ट्स है उसमें
And to counter that, Dr. Swami, आपने कहा कि हमें अमेरिका के साथ मिलकर चाइना को ठीक करना है कुछ लोग वकालत यह करते हैं हमें चाइना के साथ मिलकर अमेरिका को ठीक करना है
okay, अमेरिका बहुत जी आप आपका जो चाइनीज चाइना के साथ जो रिलेशनशिप रिश्ता वो ठीक नहीं है वो कैसे करेंगे You're going to go give up more land and say, okay, I'll give you more land. We'll have good relationship. I mean, it's a case deal. Dr. Swami, what do you think about this Maldives situation? There is a question from Nagarajan.
The Maldives situation, I know very well. See, because at the time when the first coup to, was initiated by the a Tamil group in Sri Lanka called PLOT, P-L-O-T-E. They came with a big, group, and they nearly overtook it. At that time, the president of Maldives, he contacted Rajiv Gandhi, who immediately talked to me and asked me, what do you think is our options if this has happened? Because you're a Tamil, you would know about them and so on. I said, what I would suggest to you is that you scare the hell out of them by sending about 20 aeroplanes to Maldives, and then ships, and then land troops there, and the matter will be over. And that's exactly what happened. And the entire plot was destroyed, and Maldives became free. And then the president came here, the prime minister came here, and there was a party to which I was also invited. And we had very, very good relationship. In between, we have been, the new people in, that is the in our BJP, Mr. former Jai Shankar and Doval, they are so much more concerned about America, Europe, and at least one of them is very concerned about Middle East country. So they have no time for all this. When there was an election going on, the man who is very favorably disposed to India, he made an appeal to us, saying that they are bringing in Chinese money, they're doing all this, please raise your voice. And none of us even paid attention. They didn't even bother to, in the case of Rajiv Gandhi, immediately asked me, they wouldn't even do that. I mean, people like us who have been involved in this in the past, we could have helped the government, but they think that they know everything and they are, all semi-literates.
That was Mohammed Gayoom, right, Dr. Swami?
Mohammed Gayoom was the one he rescued. And then after that, there was another one who's presently was speaker. I think he's no more speaker, who was very pro-India.
The radical Islamists have taken over Maldives, Dr. Swami.
It has become an Islamic country. Diehard Islamic country now. It was an Islamic country before, but now it's become
as rabid as they are today. Arvind ji, conclude. Time ho gaya.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Swami. We have discussed this issue earlier also, but U.S. Indo relations is so important that we cannot afford to ignore at any point in time. And whenever something triggers in a global geopolitics, then certainly the Indo-U.S. relations come first. Dr. Swami, you have very strong view about Indo-U.S. relationship. And also good analysis, which you can provide. In fact, nobody else can provide so much analysis because you have lived in US, you have seen them, you have taught them, actually. You have been a teacher there. And therefore, you understand the American psyche. And this is important for us to analyze. Thank you very much for giving such a good narration for our viewers and putting things in a right perspective. Thanks, Ramesh Swami. For starting the program today, we are missing Jagdish Shetty. He's elsewhere in Madikeri, organizing a program. In fact, so I'm sure viewers also would look into the analysis provided by Dr. Swami from the perspective of India's benefit. In fact, Modi or no Modi, Joe Biden or no Joe Biden, that's what I said. Indo-US relation is mutually important. For US, India is also important. From India, US is also important. And let's look at it that perspective. Two things brought a low point in this relationship. One was US, Russia, Ukraine. And second was Israel, Hamas. Also, there was a difference of opinion. And I'm sure things will continue to improve if we look at the right perspective, right policy. Thank you, Dr. Swami. Thanks, the technical team led by Ashish Shetty. In fact, we are meeting today after 2 weeks. for different reasons. Last week, Dr. Swami was busy in a New Delhi program, so he could not come with words of wisdom. And before that, there was the Diwali week. Viewers, thank you for supporting us again. Next week, we will be meeting again. Thanks to Asish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas Navargul, Vishal Mehta, Najesh Nair. Next Sunday, 8 o'clock, like every other Sunday, we'll be meeting with a new topic and Dr. Subramani Swami's wisdom. Thank you, Dr. Swami. Thanks, viewers. Namaskar, Jai Hind.